Krishna is the lover of Radha. He displays many amorous pastimes in the groves of Vrindavan. He is the lover of the coward maidens of Vraj, the holder of the great hill named Govardhan.
Srila Raghunath Das Goswami's Sri Dhanakele Chintamani, the Chintamani jewel of the toll pastimes. May Sri Sri Gandharvaka Giridhari's intently playful quarrel over a toll of milk products at the base of Govardhan Hill, where their friends, filled with hundreds of desires for their friend's victory, spoke many clever crooked words, protect you all. Although I am blind, by the power of the effulgence of the pollen of Srila Rupa Goswami's splendid lotus feet, I now take the eternally new Dhanakele pastime jewel created by the meeting of the flowing stream of Sri Radha and the ocean of Lord Giridhari, both very beautiful and both filled with nectar waves of exalted joking words. All glories to Saharagram, the residence of Upananda, the brother and intelligent minister of Gokula's king. Upananda's handsome and virtuous son is Subhadra, and Subhadra's highly qualified wife is Kundalata. Near Subhadra's house is a splendid aromatic garden filled with many flowers, bees, birds, and splendid trees. As she played in that garden, Kundalata asked her friend Sumukhi, "Where are Radha and Krishna now? What are they doing?" When she drank the stream of these Madhvaka nectar words flowing from the lotus flower of Kundalata's mouth and sweetened with the camphor of questions about Sri Sri Radha Giridhari, eager, beautiful Sumukhi, filled with ecstasy and the hairs on her body upright, began to tell the news of their pastimes. Affectionately attached to Balaram, his own son, and Krishna, his friend's son, Maharaj Vasudev arranged that Bhagavan Bhaguri perform a Vedic sacrifice for their benefit. Accompanied by many sages, Bhagavan Bhaguri lovingly performed that sacrifice at Govindakund with great secrecy. The pure-hearted gopis quickly arrived at that sacrificial arena and, taking the milk products they carried on their heads, offered them to the sages. The sages were very pleased, and in reciprocation at once blessed them and gave them gifts of many jewel ornaments, in this way fulfilling all their desires. When, staying at her own lake, Radhakund, where the glistening pure waters are filled with blossoming lotuses and lilies, and where all around are groves of many kinds of trees beautiful with many flowers filled with bees humming, Radha heard from the mouth of the parrot Sukshmadi about the secret yajna. She became agitated at heart, and, longing to go there with her dear gopi friends, bathed, decorated herself with nice garments and ornaments, anointed herself both with kumkum and the ointment of Krishna Pranaya, with great purity worshipped the sun god, passionately meditated on Krishna as the moon of Braj shining in the sky of her heart, and, carrying a golden jar of aromatic ghee on her head, Radhika jubilantly left her lake to attend the yajna. O girl with beautiful teeth, walking on the pathway, smiling and smiling as she tells the news of Krishna to her friends, a puppet in love's hands, suffering from not seeing her lover, and glancing again and again at affectionate Lalita and witty Vishakha, she enjoys speaking crooked, joking words to her heart's content. She saw the regal mountain proud of the touch of Lord Giridhari's hand, where are many trees with branches filled with splendid aromatic flowers making wandering bumblebees mad with the sweet taste of their pollen. Many excellent fruits, roots, bulbs, luxuriant grasses, deer, sweetly singing birds, and many other creatures, and where in many places are jewel thrones, and in other places splendid mountain peaks, flowing mountain streams, and charming caves. Approaching Govardhan Hill, joyfully smelling the sweet aroma of ghee the great sages continually poured into the sacred fires, and by the nectar of happiness made eager to go quickly to the sacrifice, she rebuked the very heavy breasts and hips that forced her to move slowly. Learning of the gopi's imminent arrival from the parrot king, Krishna smiled, assembled his Priyanarma friends, and made a makeshift toll booth from the black bench on Govardhan Hill. When Krishna saw smiling Radha, who wore a red sari and ornaments and carried on her head a golden pot of ghee as she walked with the gracefulness of a regal swan in the company of her gopi friends, who also carried pots of ghee, Krishna, the prince of gopas, said, "A full moon comes before me and turns my eyes into two chakora birds that live by drinking its moonbeams. In this moon are two splendid banduka flowers disguised as lips. These two flowers have turned my eyes into two bumblebees eager to drink its honey. Here are also two round pomegranates disguised as breasts. These pomegranates have turned my eyes into two parrots eager to taste them. Who is this wonderful lotus flower that has appeared before me? This lotus has transformed me into a swan that passionately yearns to play amongst its petals." When lotus-petal-eyed Sri Krishna came to understand that the being before him was not a lotus flower, but a beautiful young girl, his heart became agitated with love for her. Filled with longing to attain her, and uncertain whether he could attain her, he again spoke, "Is this a blossoming champaka vine?" "No. Champaka vines are stationary, and this being moves." "Is this a lightning flash?" "No, lightning shines only for a moment in its sky-born cloud, and this being remains continually before me." "Is this a river with splendid waves?" "No, for rivers are formless, and this being has a very beautiful form." As Srimati Radharani and her friends heard these words, they approached nearer to Lord Sri Krishna. "I cannot believe that this is the girl Radha with her many friends. As I reflect on the identity of this person, I can only conclude that this must be the beautiful supreme goddess of love, who has now appeared before me accompanied by her various potencies such as embracing and kissing, which have assumed the forms of these young girls. This fair-complexioned girl, who is a splendid pennant of fame decorating Maharaj Brishabhanu's dynasty, a wave of glistening splendor from the jewel mine of Kirtita Devi's womb, Sridhama's pious and beautiful younger sister, a flood of glittering moonlight that delights the lotus flowers of her dearest friends, and a charming roof under which the great peacock of my life's breath resides, is Radhika herself. The corners of her beautiful restless eyes gazing at Lord Govinda, the crest jewel of Govardhan Hill, Tungavidya Devi smiled and said, "Radha, this is your dear friend Krishna, who has now climbed to the summit of Govardhan, the king of mountains. This is the same passionate Krishna who hid in the darkness and stole the jar of yogurt. This is the great thief of the gopi's property." Lord Keshava was so handsome that his bodily luster completely defeated the great pride of dark monsoon clouds. He was like Kamadeva's club, raised to smash the advancing armies of the gopis' peaceful composure. He was like a splendid decoration on the silk turban crown of Govardhan, the king of mountains. Radha embraced him with a crooked, sidelong glance. She wavered with unsteadiness as she spoke the following words, "My dear, beautiful face friends, what is this before us? Is it a fresh monsoon cloud? Is it a sapphire blossom? Is it a newly sprouted blue lotus flower? Is it the amorous sporting of musk perfume? Ah, it is none of these, because this form before us causes me to burn with passionate desire. I know this must be the wonderful dark moon of Gokula standing before us on Govardhan Hill. No, this cannot be the dark moon, for even the full moon and all the stars are not as splendidly beautiful as this. I think this must be smiling King Kamadeva, accompanied by his friends, the cuckoo, bumblebee, spring season, and mango. My friends, I think King Kamadeva has come here just to meet you." This is the playful object of maternal love for Braja's queen. This is the nectarian fruit of the saintly tree of the coward's king. This is the sole medicine for protecting the dear coward boys. This is Madhava, the great ocean where Balaram's life breath performs pastimes. Overwhelmed with passion, Radharani stared at Lord Giridhari. Her body became bathed with tears and perspiration. "O my friend Sudati," she trembled and only with great difficulty was able to keep the glistening pot of ghee from slipping out of her lotus hand. Sri Krishna was dressed in the most charming and elegant garments and ornaments as befitting the wealthiest of toll collectors, and he carried a flute and buffalo horn bugle and was accompanied by many coward boyfriends holding sticks in the role of toll collectors. Smiling with contempt, the gopis stared at Krishna. They gracefully approached him. Seeing the sweet-hearted, charming gopis maddened with anger, Madhu Mangal smiled and angrily spoke the following words to Sri Krishna. Intoxicated by youthfulness and accompanied by her maddened friends, proud Radha, although only a weak woman, now approaches you. O friend, why do you not forcibly check her before she places her hands upon you? As he gracefully walked, Krishna moved the bells on his body, making a tinkling sound filled with all amorous potencies and fully able to defeat the approaching lion of Sri Radha. As he bewildered her with those amorous potencies, he spoke to his gopa associates the following words of pretended anger. "Madhu Mangal speaks the truth. These wicked girls are ignoring my toll and proudly going away. Just see their arrogance. My friends, I will now single-handedly force them to pay the toll. Sound the flutes and buffalo horn bugles. Stop these girls. With my own arms, I will personally stop Radha, the leader of these crooked-hearted girls. O Subal, O leader of thousands of toll collectors, you forcibly stop Vishaka. O Ujvala, O protector of the toll booth, O my friend, you stop Chitradevi. O Vasanta, O leader of the assembly, you stop Champakalata and Tungavidya. O Kokila, O most expert of thousands of guides, you stop Lalita." Speaking many arrogant words, the coward boys surrounded Radha and her friends and stopped them from proceeding. Radha jubilantly assailed Krishna with many crooked words, which were actually disguised prayers of glorification. Krishna appeared to become angry, and he said to proud Radha, "My dear proud thief, I know that you regularly travel in these forest pathways, carefully hiding these milk products and lucratively selling them on the black market. By good fortune, you have now fallen into my hands. I will now arrest you and bind you with ropes and take you before King Kamadeva. He will certainly be pleased with me for bringing you, and he will reward me by giving me the precious jewel of your youthfulness. Should I actually bring you insignificant girls before the great King Kamadeva? No, I should not bother him with your tiny antics. Instead, I will simply teach you that I am the unrivaled monarch of this town of Braj. My dear thief, if you do not immediately pay this toll, I will bind you with this garland of forest flowers. I will bite your lips with my teeth. I shall scratch your breast with the 10 weapons that are my fingernails. In this way, I will punish you for your crime." As restless, fickle-minded Krishna spoke in this way, he began to grab the corner of Radha's red sari. Beautiful, intelligent Radha, gazing at him from the corners of her quickly moving eyes, angrily said to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, "Stay away! Don't touch me! You are a cruel, shameless rake, and I am a pious, pure-hearted girl bringing this ghee to the sacrificial arena. Your slightest touch will contaminate this ghee and make it unsuitable for offering in the auspicious sacrifice." Krishna then said, "My dear large-eyed girl, can you not see that I have become purified, sprinkled with perspiration by the ocean of amorous love? I've come to this place specifically to perform the Maha Ujjala sacrifice along with you as my religious wife." A cuckoo in the forest then addressed the following words to Lord Krishna. Oh, friend, just flatter this girl with sweet words, and then quickly collect your toll from her. Hearing these words, Krishna, who enjoys limitless, wonderful pastimes, placed his left hand on his auspicious left hip and began to smile. Carrying the glittering golden pot of ghee on her head, Sri Radha gazed at Krishna from the corners of her restless eyes. With pretended shyness, she covered half her face with her sari. Sri Krishna said to her, "My dear Radha, please stand for a moment by this toll booth and let this pleasant breeze which carries the fragrance of lotus flowers relieve you of all fatigue. Take a moment so that my assistant can record the payment of your toll in glistening fresh ghee, and make your cruel friends immediately do the same. Oh, scribe Madhumangal, come here. Truthfully record my toll payment on your ledger, and carefully read out loud to me what you have written. If out of greed you do not record all that I have given you, so you can later claim it as your own, then you will certainly be punished by the authorities. Radha, come here. Pay careful attention as Madhumangal writes in his toll register. Pay your toll. Do not quarrel. Sweeten your mouth by chewing these betel nuts. Make this a nice day. This is a very auspicious occasion. O Madhumangal, O best of scribes, O my friend, I will accurately enumerate the extent of this toll payment. Please carefully write as I speak. My dear girl with the beautiful face, each of the lovely Vrajagopis must give 5 heaps of sparkling diamonds as toll payment for her jar of ghee. All this priceless wealth is now mine. For the red cinder mark on your parted hair, you must pay the toll of 100,000 glittering crystal stones. And for your beautiful braids, which glisten like black mascara, you must pay the toll of 200,000 charming sapphires. O girl with the beautiful eyebrows, for your forehead, which shines like a golden half moon, you must pay the toll of 100,000 splendid moonstones. And for the tilak markings drawn in musk on your forehead, you must pay the toll of 100,000,000 moon-shaped pendants studded with sapphires. For your bending eyebrows, you must pay the toll of 50,000 quivers studded with sapphires. And for your beautiful ears, you must pay the toll of many more bow strings made of charming new lapis lazuli stones. For the arrow of your sidelong glance, you must pay the toll of 1,000,000 sapphire arrows. And for your 2 beautiful eyes, you must pay the toll of 1,000,000 aromatic emerald lotus flowers. For your nose, as beautiful as a sesame flower, you must pay the toll of many gold pendants in the shape of young parrot's beaks, and for your lovely cheeks, you must pay the toll of many charming golden mirrors more splendid than crystal. For your beautiful face, which eclipses the glory of all other faces, you must pay the toll of 100,000 full moons, 100,000 blossoming lotus flowers, and 100,000 jewel-studded golden mirrors. For your chin, you must pay the toll of many precious gems. My dear girl, as lovely as a lotus flower. For your lips, as beautiful as bimba fruits, you must pay a toll of 1 red lotus flower fashioned of rubies. For your teeth, which rebuke splendid ripe pomegranate seeds, you must pay a toll of 100,000 peerless cicada gems. My dear moon-faced girl, if the male bee that is the dot of musk on the chin of your lotus face will lovingly embrace the smiling female bee of my eyes, then that is sufficient payment of toll. I will not ask any further toll for your musk dot. For the beauty of your splendid red tongue, which is like a spoon perfectly dipping into the nectar ocean of melodious song, you must at once pay a toll of many goblets filled with sweet Madhvika nectar fragrant with camphor. For your blossoming gentle smile, you must pay a toll of 10,000,000 beautiful glistening white pearl lotus flowers. For your charming sweet conversation, you must pay a toll of 10,000 gold pots filled with the sweetest nectar. For your beautiful gold earrings, you must pay a toll of 1 glittering magnet. For the pearls set in gold on the tip of your nose, you must pay a toll of many crystal necklaces. for the aromatic betel nuts enthusiastically dancing with playful happiness on the stage of your mouth, you must pay a toll of sending them to dance in my mouth. For your neck beautiful as a conch shell, you must pay a toll of many golden conch shells. For your lovely round arms, you must pay a toll of many beautiful, glistening, smooth, golden lotus stems. For your two hands, you must pay a toll of many lapis lazuli lotus flowers. For your charming fingers, you must pay a toll of many aromatic golden champaka flowers. For the beautiful golden plate that is your back, you must pay a toll of sleeping by my side and enjoying many pastimes with me on a bed of flowers and the grove of Vrindavan. My dear girl with a beautiful face, your two picture-like breasts remove the pride of the two protuberances on the heads of maddened regal elephants fragrant with the aroma of Ichor. For these breasts, you must pay a toll of 100,000 pomegranate, bilva, and tala fruits made of gold. Your waist is as charmingly slender as the waist of the most handsome lioness. Your waist is the great reservoir of the nectar of amorous love. Your waist is beautifully bound by the sash of three lovely folds of skin and then covered by a red cloth and a chain of tinkling bells. The toll required for this waist is very great, although if you offer me a suitable bribe, I will conceal this particular item from the scrutiny of my master, the great King Kamadeva. You may bribe me by immediately placing in my hand the hidden jewel that fastens your belt. For your broad hips, you must pay a toll of this belt. Although you are afraid to loosen this tight belt, and you present many crooked appeals to avoid this toll, do not hesitate. Remove this garment and pay the toll. Paying this toll will bring you the greatest satisfaction, for it will cause the moon of King Kamadeva to rise here. For the crest jewels decorating the hoods of the line of hairs serpent rising from the lake of your navel, you must pay a toll of 9,000,000 beautiful sapphires, rubies, and lapis lazuli stones. For your gracefully moving hips covered by exquisite blue garments and a charming red sash, you must pay a toll of 900,000,000 glittering golden thrones. As the king of toll collectors, I require these thrones as my sitting places. For your thighs, which are more beautiful than the elephant's graceful trunk, you must pay a toll of many plantain trees fashioned of gold. For your two lotus feet decorated with pleasantly tinkling ankle bells, you must pay a toll of many blossoming flowers fashioned of rubies. For the beautiful waves of tilting folds of skin on your slender abdomen shining with the nectar of amorous pastimes, you must pay a toll of 2 Anubhava jewels. For the reddish moonlight of your fingernails and toenails, you must pay a toll of many jewel ornaments fashioned in the shape of moons. For your beautiful knees, which destroy the pride of shining golden jewel cases, you must pay a toll of 10,000,000 golden jewel cases. For your necklaces and other ornaments, you must give the peerless, beautiful touchstone hanging from your delicate neck. For the tinkling sound of your bracelets, anklets, and bells, you must give the two great jewels over your heart. For your blue and red bodice and other garments, you must pay a toll of many sapphire and coral necklaces. For your pet parrot, doe, peahen, lute, toy lotus flower, as well as for your dancing and other playful activities, you must pay a toll of 10,000,000 precious gems. My dear girl with a beautiful face, your golden complexion seems to have created many golden forests, mountains, villages, and planets. Your golden complexion has completely defeated the great host of champaka flowers with its beautiful splendor. For this complexion, you must pay a toll of many millions of golden mountains. The breeze moving over the aromatic ocean of lotus flowers and kumkuma resting on your golden limbs has perfumed this forest of Braj. My friend, I cannot see anything that may be a proper toll payment for this fragrance, and therefore you must give me your constant association to pay the toll. For the beautiful pictures of flowering vines, lotuses, and dolphins drawn in glistening kumkum and musk on the canvas of your body, you must pay a toll of making my body fragrant by always splashing it with a delightful flood of your sweet fragrance. O girl with the beautiful thighs, for the enchanting and auspicious markings on your lotus feet anointed with red lac, you must pay a toll of the necklace of red half-moons that is your fingernails. You must place this necklace on my chest for many billions of years. My dear delightful girl, your singing drowns all the universes, even up to Vaikuntha Loka, with unparalleled bliss. Your singing makes the hearts of your rivals tremble with despair. Your singing is glorified and worshipped with great love by Lakshmi and the other goddesses. Your singing is like a great drum, heralding the appearance of supreme auspiciousness. Your singing is sweeter than the honey of the lotus flower. You must allow me to hear the singing. That is the toll payment for your sweet voice. Your auspicious name, Radha, is sweeter than glistening nectar, and it makes the residents of all the universes ecstatic, the hairs of their bodies standing up with bliss. What can be a suitable toll payment for your name? My dear Radha, you must now give me the splendid jewel that is your playful pastimes with me. That is the toll payment I demand of your name. The glorious demigoddesses all praise your splendid and playful intelligence, expanded fame, profound thoughts, and host of other glorious and auspicious qualities. For these qualities now pay a toll of many heaps of sparkling pearls, diamonds, and beautiful sapphires. My friend, for your graceful movements, which defeat the gracefulness of a maddened elephant, and which are like so many promises of future amorous bliss, you must pay a toll of many swan-shaped ornaments fashioned of large pearls, glistening as many stars. For the graceful gestures of your hands, you must pay a toll of many rubies. For your beautiful ears, you must now pay a toll of earrings and other ornaments. I think that by paying this toll, you will earn great piety, a long life, fame, and glory. For your beauty, shyness, humbleness, scholarship, melodious singing, and host of other transcendental virtues, you must give me all your friends as toll payment. For your difficult-to-attain ecstatic love for me, you must give me your friend Lalita as toll payment. For your affectionate, auspicious, joking pastimes with me, you must give Vishaka as toll payment. Your priceless loveliness rebukes the beauty of 10 million goddesses of fortune. You are the crest jewel among the Brajagopis, each of whom is more enchanting than 100,000 Lakshmis. For your exquisite beauty, you must give to me your body as toll payment. After hearing these sweet words, which eclipse the pride of the nectar ocean, beautiful Radha crookedly glanced at crooked Krishna. She smiled with playful anger and spoke the following words. My dear gopi friends, I will not travel on this path which has become polluted by the seducer of young girls. Not hearing my words, Lalita now proudly places me in this rascal's hand. Although she yearned to hear such playful, joking words from Krishna, Radha crookedly rebuked him with these angry words. When Radha, whose beautiful face is worshipped by the moon itself, began to walk away with her friends, she was forcibly stopped by Krishna, the moon of Braj. As she heard Mukunda's joking words, which were sprinkled with sweet smiles and filled with hidden double meanings, Lalita's eyes smiled with happiness. Artificially checking the great happiness in her heart, she spoke the following words as if filled with anger. We have never seen or heard of any toll and milk products in town of Braja. This so-called toll is simply an invention of the king of bandits to cheat the gopis. My dear friends, if you wish to rescue yourselves from the hard coils of this black snake Krishna, then just go before the queen of Braj and narrate all these happenings. Do this, and this black snake will be very happy to leave us in peace. Lord Mukunda could easily understand the actual desire hidden deep within Radha's heart. He gently smiled and spoke the following crooked words to Lalita and the other gopis. My dear beautiful Tungavidya, each day you grow increasingly proud of being more learned than the other young girls of Braja. I think you should give a vast quantity of gold as the toll payment for your learning. my dear beautiful Chitra, who in this world is not delighted by your wonderfully charming gentle words? If this were not so, then why do the learned doctors of rhetoric daily proclaim that your words are sweeter than nectar? My dear beautiful girl, I cannot see anything that can be a suitable toll payment for your sweet words. For this reason, I think you should take the nectar of the soft, beautiful, sweet, glistening bimba fruits of your lips, mix it with the fragrant camphor of your smile, and offer that nectar as the only possible toll payment for your sweet words. My dear friend, Champakalata, your beauty is like a trembling champaka flower made of molten gold. As toll payment, you must decorate my dark limbs with the charming garland of these champaka flowers of your beauty. My dear sweet limb Vishaka, the words from your mouth are like honey mixed with the nectar of transcendental mellows and perfumed by the camphor of many pleasant jokes. In all the three worlds, I do not think there's any suitable toll payment for your words. My dear Lalita, you possess great learning, wit, graceful dancing, charming smiles and laughter, consummate beauty, and a host of other transcendental virtues. For all these virtues, you must pay a toll of surrendering to me your expert instructions to the gopis in the matter of pride and jealous anger, as well as your expert pretended hard-heartedness. At this point, Kundalata said, "My dear Sumukhi, these narrations of the charming pastimes of the divine couple who play in Brajabhumi are like nectar. A single drop of the sweet nectar enables the drinker to immediately reject hundreds of inferior material desires. Although for thousands of times I repeatedly drink this ocean of nectar in the astonished cup of my ear, I remain always unsatisfied and simply desire to continue drinking without interruption." Kundalata said, "Please narrate these topics again and again." Hearing these words, Sumukhi became drowned in an ocean of satisfaction, and the hairs of her body stood up in ecstasy. With a voice full of love, moon-faced Sumukhi spoke the following words. When the gopis heard Krishna's toll claims, they all laughed heartily. Witty, playful Tungavidya smiled and said, "My dear Madhu Mangal, you and your friends are not very strong. How will you carry all these goods collected as toll payments? I think you should bring from home many carts drawn by great camels, powerful bulls, mules, and other domestic animals just to carry all this." Lord Krishna's playful words were so sweet that they seemed to rebuke the flood of nectar streaming down from the moon planet. When Radha heard these words, her enchanting eyes opened wide with ecstatic bliss, although with charming deceptiveness she carefully concealed the happiness she felt. She, Radha, is the supreme heroine, expert at enjoying splendid transcendental pastimes. She is the thief that steals the great ruby that is the prince of Braja's thoughts. She is the great goddess of eloquence, expert at speaking charming amorous words. She, Radha, who is expert at making words dance, proceeded to quarrel with Lord Giridhari. She said, "My lord, you do not understand our position. We are not your maidservants or slaves. Neither are we your submissive Chandravali or your Padmika. You have arrested us in this solitary place deep in the frightening jungle, and on the pretext of collecting the toll, you are plundering our wealth just like a highwayman." Krishna then said, "My dear Radha, please do not uselessly quarrel in this way. Please understand how I am instructing you for your own benefit and dutifully pay the toll. If the great King Kamadeva hears that you refuse to pay the toll, he will become angry and punish you severely. At that time, I will not be responsible for your sufferings." Radha then said, "If Krishna has deceptively invented a toll that does not actually exist, I hereby declare that he will bear the curse of his beloved Chandravali on his head." Sumukhi then said, "O my friend Kundalata, in this way the smiling actress Radha, who stays in the caves of Govardhan Hill, made the entire assembly burst into laughter with her dancing words." Krishna then said, "Your intimate friend Vishaka is both intelligent and clear-thinking. Please confer with her and decide what is to be done. Do not follow the advice of wild, intoxicated Lalita." Radha replied, "O moon among the monarchs of toll collecting, I am delighted by your wonderful words. I feel grateful to you, and I wish to please you also in reciprocation. I will now please you by immediately bringing to this place the Garuda bird named Abhimanyu, who is very eager to personally see the dancing of the snake of your charming boldness." Note, Abhimanyu is the name of Srimati Radharani's so-called husband. Garuda preys on snakes. As soon as these words were spoken, beautiful Vishakha, expert at joking and filled with all auspicious virtues, eagerly began to lead Radha to the village of Braj, until she was violently checked by the villain Hari. Chitragopi then said, "My dear chaste friends, let us protect our religious principles from this libidinous rascal Krishna. Let us immediately run home, or let us flee to the sacrificial arena to offer these jars of ghee." Hearing these words, Tungavidya raised her curved eyebrows and seemed to have become angry. She said, "O foolish Chitra, why are you needlessly afraid of the words of this timid little coward boy? All glories to Sri Radha, the eternally victorious queen of Vrindavan Forest. All glories to Lalita Devi, her powerful prime minister. Just see, this Brahmana clown Madhumanga wished to collect a toll payment that would ruin her forest. I will now bind this rascal with ropes and lead him away as my captive." O my friend Kundalata, when Madhumanga heard these words, he became frightened. He, Subal, and all the coward boys assembled around Lord Krishna Chandra, who laughed and spoke the following words in a great heroic voice. "O best of Brahmanas, do not fear. I am powerful as Lord Nrsingadev. Simply by seeing me strong and violent, Lita and fearsome Tungavidya will quickly flee, leaving even their garments and ornaments behind." Hearing this heroic statement, Lalita addressed Nrsingha Krishna in the following words, "My dear Lord Nrsingha, the demon Hiranyakashipu is incarnated as the breasts of Chandravali. Please scratch these terrible breasts with your claws, and thus delight your devotee Prahlad." When Lord Krishna heard these playful words, he could not help but laugh out loud. Krishna said, "My dear Radha, if you wish to gain great wealth and many new ornaments at this sacrifice, then you and your friend should go there immediately and pay this toll at some other time. However, you must leave Lalita here as collateral to ensure that you return here to pay your debt." Radha said, "O seducer of young girls, because of what terrible past sin has destiny placed us in your hands? Just see my fate. You are now forcing me to place famous Lalita in your hands." "My dear beautiful friend," when Lalita heard these words, she became red with anger. Intoxicated by the nectar of transcendental mellows, she spoke the following crooked words to her gopi friends. "Sudevi should quickly go and bring the saintly Queen Yashoda. Without delay, Chitra should bring the crooked Jatila and her son Abhimanyu. Vinda should at once bring a learned Brahmana from the sacrifice. Bring all of them to see the dancing of this great king of dancers." "My dear friend Kundalata, as Lord Krishna, the moon of Braj, heard Lalita's angry words, he fixed his thoughts on the beautiful gopi Radha. He gently smiled, and glancing for a moment at Radha, spoke the following words. "O crooked Radha, you continually ignore my toll. Do not think that I am an insignificant blade of grass to be rudely trampled by you. What is the use of trying to collect the toll from you in a polite and civilized way? Just see, I will now defeat the heroic Lalita, and by force I will plunder the jewel of newly blossoming youthfulness decorating your breasts." My dear friend Kundalata, amorous Mukunda then tried to touch the gopis. Blinded with love for him, the gopis stared at him with smiling lotus faces and dancing eyes, and then, as if afraid of cruel Krishna, fled in all directions. Radha then said, "Millions of people in this kingdom pass this place carrying milk products. Why do you bother us with this toll? If you are actually the master of the hills and forests of Braj, why do you not collect toll from them?" When Lord Krishna, the monarch of all who are expert at relishing transcendental mellows, heard Srimati Radharani's words, he slightly raised his eyebrows and his eyes began to dance, and his thoughts became filled with transcendental bliss. He laughed out loud and said to her, "My dear girls, intoxicated by drinking the honey of transcendental bliss, please hear me. With boundless happiness, I collect from the other travelers on this royal road. Every day you surreptitiously travel on this road, unobserved by me, and thus I have not been able to collect any tolls from you." When Emperor Kamadev heard of this from one of his servants, he called me into his presence, and he angrily rebuked me. He ordered me, "Quickly go with your companions and arrest these girls who refuse to pay my toll. Bind them with ropes, punish them, and bring them before me at once." Although the gopis felt very happy to hear Krishna's playful words, they pretended to have become very unhappy. Carrying their pots, they fled from Krishna, running onto the slope of Govardhan Hill. With happy ears, Kundalata drank the nectar of the narration of these sweet pastimes. Her bodily hair standing up and her voice choked in ecstasy, she spoke the following words. Kundalata said, "Although I continually drink the nectar of the divine couple's peerless pastimes, I never become satiated, and my appetite never becomes jaded. O beautiful friend, please continue your narration." When Sumukhi heard this, she said, "When Nandimukhi heard of these toll pastimes which are so dear to the divine couple, she yearned to personally see them. Unobserved by anyone, she arrived at that place and entered a little cottage in the nearby secluded grove. In that grove, she became filled with wonder as she saw the wonderful pastimes of Lord Krishna and the gopis. When the gopis saw her, they all became jubilant. They asked about her welfare and embraced her to their heart's content. Krishna smiled and proclaimed her arrival glorious and auspicious. He recounted for her the toll pastimes he had just then enjoyed." Nandimukhi smiled as she glanced at Sri Radha, who was overwhelmed with the happiness of nectarian transcendental mellows. With great delight, Nandimukhi then said to Supreme Blissful Mukunda, "My dear toll collector, now that I have heard your narration of these supremely wonderful toll pastimes, I am filled with wonder. Now I can appreciate the words. Having seen this, what more wonderful things remain to be seen? My dear hero, these girls you have arrested are all very pious and saintly. Please do not tease them any more in this way, for that will ruin their good reputation in the town of Gokula. Why enjoy more joking pastimes with these girls? Set them free. Free them so that they may immediately go to the sacrificial ceremony." Sri Krishna replied, "Although you rascal gopis allow me to see Sri Radha's charming, glorious, moon-like face, you insist on carefully concealing the breasts and navel below it. In a solitary place, she must immediately show them to me. If she refuses, when King Kamadeva hears of it, he will become very angry and he will punish us very severely." "My dear intelligent Lalita, why do you ask me to not collect this part of the toll? Do you not know that the scribe Madhumangala is actually King Kamadeva's spy, and the supremely intelligent Ujjala, who is witnessing all of this, is a great favorite in Kamadeva's court? If I do not collect this part of the toll, they will return to King Kamadeva, and on some pretext, they will certainly inform him of my failure to collect this toll. King Kamadeva will certainly react very harshly. He will arrest us all, bind us with ropes, and cast us into a densely dark, deep prison cave." As Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, spoke these words in Nandimukhi's presence, Radha pretended to burn with anger. She spoke the following words to Lord Madhava. "My dear Krishna, you are the killer of the demons. The younger brother of pure-hearted Balaram and the famous son of Gopendra Nanda, who is like a kind sun that makes the lotus flowers of his subjects to blossom with prosperity. I think that because the goddess of toll places has served you for many births, she has earned the right to be the deity of the place where you speak these crooked words." Tungavidya then spoke the following deceptive words to Lord Krishna. My friend is too embarrassed to speak further. I will speak on her behalf. Please hear my words. My dear, fickle-minded, poison-fanged, libidinous snake, quickly flee from this place and hide in your cave before Abhimanyu, proud of his prowess in killing snakes, arrives at this place. Lord Krishna replied in the following words. This girl Radha is as beautiful as a lotus flower. Her breasts are like two lovely round fruits. Her hands and feet are like four red lotus flowers. Her lips are like two panduka flowers, and her form is decorated with 23.5 moons. This lotus flower girl may blossom with happiness only while the dark moon of her paramour or Shyamasundara shines. But when she sees the glaring sun of her husband rising on the horizon, she will wilt with disappointment. Note, the 23.5 moons are calculated in the following way. Her face is one moon, her cheeks are two moons, her forehead is a half moon, and her fingernails and toenails are 20 moons. Certain varieties of lotus flowers blossom at night and then close up with the appearance of day. Radha is here compared to such a lotus flower. These joking words were like fragrant honey from the lotus flower of Lord Hari's mouth. This honey greatly pleased all the gopis, and although Sri Radha loudly protested, she also drank this honey with great pleasure. Radha then spoke the following words, which were in truth very far from her actual desire. My dear little boy, please become sober. Do not be so wild and foolish. Do not forget that cruel King Kansa reigns in the nearby town, and he will certainly punish you if you harass us. Because you are the son of Braja's king, I wish all good fortune for you, and therefore I will give you this good advice. Leave us in peace, and immediately go into the forest to take care of the Sarabi cows. Madhu Mangal then said, My friend Krishna is supremely independent. He is not different from the great king Kamadeva. With playful ease he killed Keshi and many others in the land of Braja who were more dear to Kansa than his own life. Why should my friend Krishna fear your Kamsa? My friend Krishna is the great transcendental Kamadeva, and the little Kamadeva of this world is simply his vassal. This Kamsa whom you speak is completely under the dominion of the little Kamadeva. If you do not peacefully pay this toll, I will write a letter of complaint to King Kamsa. He will give me an army, and I will arrest all your husbands, bind them with ropes, and imprison them. That assembly was like a great pond, and the beautiful gopis, experts at relishing transcendental mellows, were like bumblebees in that pond. These gopi bumblebees drank the flood of sweet nectar words trickling from the lotus flower of Madhu Mangala's splendid happy mouth. They became intoxicated with transcendental bliss and laughed with graceful charm. When Krishna heard these words, he pretended to be filled with anger. He then said to beautiful Radha, If this toll is not paid to me, I will take all these gopis to the great King Kamadeva as his prisoners. At that point, Champakalata said, My dear friend Radha, who is this great King Kamadeva? I have never heard of any such person anywhere in this world. I think this Kamadeva is simply the figment of Krishna's imagination. He cleverly glorifies the name, prowess, and greatness of this Kamadeva only to make fun of us and laugh. My dear moon-faced Kundalata, when Lord Krishna, the supreme Kamadeva, the moon of Gokula, heard Champakalata's words, he glanced at moon-faced Radha and spoke the following playful words in that assembly of gopis. That great King Kamadeva eternally reigns in his kingdom in this pleasant Govardhan, best of hills. He personally told me that if you gopis become too proud, I should bring you to him to become his slaves. In this way, Radha, stopped in her attempt to visit the sacrificial arena, was sprinkled with the sweet nectar of feigned anger at Lord Krishna. She pierced Lord Krishna with the sharp arrows of her dancing crooked eyes and spoke to him the following honeyed words. My dear hero, by drinking the madhvaka honey of the lotus flower of this gopi's face, you have certainly attained the topmost pinnacle of spiritual purity. the beautiful-eyed young girl speaking to you has, after completing all of her household duties, come to the solitary place specifically to be with you. Note, Srimati Radharani's intention is ironical. She has not completed her household duties, and her association with Krishna is not voluntary, but forced by him. Seeing the very sweet nectar quarrel of the divine couple, who were the original teachers of the arts of playful jokes, Nandimukhi wished to pacify the two adversaries. With this end in view, she humbly spoke the following words to Lord Hari. O King of the Toll Collectors, please follow the path of piety and give up disturbing these girls who carry on their heads pitchers filled with milk products for the auspicious sacrifice. O moon of Nanda Maharaja's dynasty, do this and you will become glorious and famous. At the base of Govardhan, the best of hills, is a glorious forest where the divine couple enjoy pastimes. In that forest are many pleasant trees, fragrant flowers, and melodious birds, and there is a lake of very clear fresh water. In some places, maddened bumblebees hum melodiously in their honey-filled hives surrounded by aromatic flowers. In some places, cuckoos sometimes warble sweetly, intoxicated by drinking the nectar in the forest of mango blossoms. In some places, peacocks sometimes dance with happy enthusiasm, and in other places, the peacocks sometimes mew with joy. In some other places, parrots sometimes chatter loquaciously as they eat many splendid, palatable, sweet mangoes. Tomorrow these girls will meet your lordship at the same place in this grove by the lake. At that time they will pay this toll in full. For the time being, I will become their bail. Because the gopis promised to return, Nirvartana, to this lake on Govardhan Hill in order to pay the toll, Dan, this place will be known as Dana Nirvartana. After hearing these words, Krishna set the gopis free. Gentle laughter decorated the gopis' beautiful smiling faces, and they considered that all their desires were fulfilled. Gazing at Lord Krishna from the corners of their eyes, they happily left for the sacrificial arena. The two female bees of Radha's eyes remained with the two intoxicated male bees of Krishna's eyes. Radha gracefully turned her neck and gazed at Krishna from the corner of her eyes, and her entire body became tossed about by the waves of the ocean of amorous love. Smiling, she then left that place along with all of her gopi friends. At that time, the bumblebee of Lord Mukunda attained transcendental pleasure by drinking the sweet honey of the gopis' faces. This bee drank through the mouth that was the corner of Lord Mukunda's eyes. As Krishna heard of the Sarabi cows, he seemed like a handsome crown decorating the summit of Govardhan Hill. He recounted the nectarian, toll-collecting, joking conversation, and both he and his coward friends became filled with happiness. As Srimati Radharani entered the sacrificial arena, her bodily luster illuminated the 10 directions with a golden hue. Her dancing, sidelong glances darkened the 10 directions with a beautiful, glistening blue color. Her gentle smile whitened the 10 directions, and the nectar of her conversation filled the 10 directions with sweetness. The gopis then offered respectful obeisances to the sages, gave the glistening milk products to them, and received from them many beautiful ornaments and other valuables. After this, they went to Radhakund, happily talking about their toll pastimes with Krishna. The gopis glistened with their own transcendental beauty and good fortune, and also with the various ornaments they received from the best of sages. Radha, the learned scholar of transcendental amorous love, became sprinkled with the nectar of pure love for Krishna. Agitated with love and manifesting various ecstatic symptoms, she loudly glorified her beloved Krishna in the company of her intimate friends. Sri Radha and Krishna are the crest jewel of all young lovers in all the three worlds. They enjoy eternally fresh and new transcendental pastimes. By their magical power, they have rejuvenated Kamadeva, who had been burned to ashes. Even the demigod Brahma cannot properly describe their glories. As she heard the nectarian description of these pastimes, Kundalata became drowned in the ocean of transcendental bliss. She and her friend Sumukhi at once left that place, eager to see Shri Radhan Krishna, the jewel of all lovers. Shri Radhan Krishna are like two blue and golden jewels in the nectar ocean of the Donakeli pastime, and they delight the hearts of Radha's playful gopi friends. Although I am greedy for material things, and although I am spiritually blind, I nevertheless yearn someday to see them face to face. A blind person found this Chintamani jewel of Shri Radhamadava's Donakeli pastimes at the base of Govardhan Hill. That blind man prays that the dear followers of Srila Rupa Goswami become pleased by gazing at this jewel. Taking a blade of grass between my teeth, I repeatedly beg that birth after birth I may obtain the dust of Srila Rupa Goswami's lotus feet.